Hi, everyone. It's your host, Matilda.
Hadiza.
And Imama.
And you're listening to the Afrikalypso podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Afrikalypso podcast. You guys are meant to say Yeah, welcome back again. We were out last week, but Hadiza and Imama, how have you guys been?
Hey, I've been good. I've had a few friends come visit me in the past couple weeks. Oh, that was really nice. It's always nice to have friends around. Like, I'm just always like, oh my gosh, it's so cute. And also, especially because like they are actually taking the time out to come see me. I'm like, oh, this is so thoughtful. Nice. And so it's been nice, and of course like busy with school and just trying to also plan like end of the year plans.
Yeah, you know, Imama, you should partner with Saskatchewan for like tourism, because I swear you've actually added in tourism dollars. I will lie, like,
yep,
before you moved there, else I would have been doing there, but like I've been there twice now and counted, so I think you should do a partnership.
I think so too. See, like a lot of my friends, I come to Saskatoon and the first thing that they say is that they literally did not know that Saskatoon was like this. And I'm like, can you guys actually see like tourism Saskatoon? They do though. They need to actually like cut me like a paycheck, because like I've actually changed a lot of people's minds about Saskatoon. Like, I'm not saying they're going to move here tomorrow, but still it's a place that like, I mean, you never know.
No, but there's this banging Nigerian restaurant. Like, I have dreams about it. The Asu and Puff Puff. Oh my God. Imama, I literally dream about it. Like, I'm literally coming back for that restaurant.
Please come back so you can help me move and we can go together.
I don't know about that.
I think it's a great idea.
Mama, do you see yourself being in Sask long term?
Let's see what tourism Saskatoon can do for your babe first, and I'll get back to you on that. But no, it's been, I think like it's actually interesting to just to see how people are able to see Saskatoon in a different light just because they have actually come. Because I think like a lot of ideas that a lot of people had, even me, literally before I came, I keep saying this, I thought it was going to be a village. Like, I thought it was going to be like a very, very small town. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a milkman. I was like, oh, like, you know, I literally go around the corner, I'll be like, oh, here's my milkman. Here's my butcher. Here's my my chicken man. Like, you know.
Imama is giving, you know, when white people are like, oh, let's go to Africa.
It's unfortunate, but that is what I did think it was actually going to be like, for real. But it's definitely not, and I think a lot of people have also come to see that, which I think is interesting and cool. But that's how my week has been, just like friends coming over, doing schoolwork, being busy with that, and just like prepping for like end of year stuffs. And yeah, that's literally been my week this past couple weeks. What have you, Hadiza?
My week has been really busy, honestly. Like,
sorry, Hadiza, could you talk a bit louder? Can't really hear you.
Oh, shoot. Sorry. Let me put my lips on the mic.
Thanks.
My lips...
Your lips have been really busy. Have they now?
You guys should stop that. My week has been really busy. Like, it's just been crazy. Like, I don't even know. But, I mean, it's good, you know?
That's out there really making it. That money.
I'm trying.
You know, Christmas is around the corner. You do giveaway.
Drop something for your girls.
For your girls.
You mean you guys should be doing giveaway for me? Matilda with the...
We can do Secret Santa.
Who is the secret?
With the big woman
Matilda, you be the secret, Shebi.
Actually, you know, it's funny. Matilda used to say that I have money. Now, Matilda, you're the one that has money.
Mama, you're almost graduating. Hadiza has like 50,000 million side hustles. I think Hadiza is the one that should be sponsoring us, TBH. My week has been funny. So,
what do you mean?
Not last week, because we didn't drop an episode last week, but the week before... Imama said she was sick and I was laughing. And I think my enemies.
Yeah.
My enemies listened to that episode and said, bet. I'm serious because literally days after that, I got COVID. And it was bad. At least it was bad for like 2-3 days. But like I thought because I had gotten the booster, but I got it in February. I thought it wasn't going to hit like that. I thought if I had COVID, it was going to be literally like a cold. But no, it was bad.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. But capitalism had me back at work like 2 days after. So shout out to that.
That's actually very unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, they technically don't tell you you have to be back at work, but you know you have all this work sitting there to do. So you yourself would know it's time to come back. So yeah, that's my week.
But like, how are you feeling now that you're better?
Yeah, much better. Lingering cough here and there, but like otherwise, I healed fast. I guess the last time I had COVID, it definitely took me a longer time to heal. Because I had basketball today. I went to gym Saturday. And like I feel like generally the healing process was faster. But the COVID itself, the intensity of it.
I think it was
still better. Because that first time that I got COVID, there were no vaccines. We were literally one of the early adopters.
So screaming.
I had COVID the original. And yeah, I think it was worse, to be honest. But yeah, I'm better
I'm
now.
I'm just screaming at the fact that you called it the original, like they're flavors.
They're flavors.
They are
now.
Flavors, though. There's the beta, there's the delta.
They said there's the a alpha. New one now.
It's B4 something. I don't know. It used to have numbers and letters now.
Yeah.
No, but a lot of people actually are catching COVID now. Like, apparently, there's like a surge.
Yeah. So be safe in these streets. I mean, like, the truth is, for the most part, most people are vaccinated and you'll probably be fine eventually. But being sick actually sucks. Like, when you...
It does!
When you're... Like, before you're sick, you're like, bro, like, I'm going to go out. It doesn't matter. COVID is already in the streets. Last, I'll get sick. But when you are in the middle of the sickness, it's so inconvenient.
Yeah. It's like, is this actually even necessary?
And, like, I was meant to go for one of my friend's weddings, like, this week. Oh, and I couldn't go, yeah, because of that.
Oh, no. So, that is sad.
Yeah. But it is what it is.
Did you like, buy the, like, plane tickets and
all
that?
Oh, I literally canceled everything the day before the wedding.
Oh, shit.
Because I was meant to be there only a day before. And I was, like, monitoring my symptoms to see maybe I could make it. But like the day before I was meant to leave, I was just like, this is just not practical. And I might go there and infect people. And I like one thing I'm proud about myself for is like both times I've had COVID, it has actually ended at me. I have been first person to tell everybody that the COVID is there. It's in the air. Remember last
Look
time?
Look at you, like, number one COVID tracker.
Oh, it's me. The government needs to give me contracts. Because like literally, once I don't feel myself, I literally go out and get a test. And I'm usually right because I somehow can tell when it's like not, when it's COVID, it feels a little different than when it's like the flu. Like it just feels slightly different. But yeah, it hits you a bit different. But yeah. So, yeah.
Well, honestly, I'm happy that you're feeling better now, though.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank God. So, yeah.
Right.
But talking about friendship and missing my friend's wedding, this episode we are going to talk about friendships as we age. Because I feel like, especially this week, the week I was sick, so much was happening. And I missed so many things. I missed my friends because it was Canadian Thanksgiving recently. I missed my friend's Thanksgiving thing. I missed my friend's wedding. And I felt like I was just missing. I really realized I'm missing so many pivotal parts of like people that were once like super, super close to me. And like I did an inventory and like I realized like our friendships are just, it's really changed over time. And I'm at a weird place. So I was like, this might be something interesting to talk about because a lot of people might be in the same place. So, yeah, Imama, you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, what do you mean you're in a weird place?
I'm in a weird place in that a lot of friendships that I actually thought were going to be for life, I'm seeing them the possibility of them fading away over time. And I'm starting to, because Imama, I feel like we've had this conversation before. I think we were talking about how a lot of older Nigerians.
I'm not surprised.
No, Imama, we talk a lot, actually. That's true.
We do.
But we've had this discussion before where we were like, older Nigerian women, married women, generally don't have that many friends.
Oh, yeah, I don't have a lot of friends. Yeah, that's true.
But I'm starting to understand. And I'm like, God, I don't want to understand.
Yeah, it's not a thing I want to understand either.
I'm actually starting to understand. And that's why I felt like it would be nice to have this conversation, because I want to understand how you guys deal with friendships and how you've kept up with friendships and if you've seen your friendships change over time. So I guess that's my first question. Like, have you seen your friendships change over time? And how?
I feel like for me, I feel like the change is not being in the same place as my friends. Like, you know, you have friends and they're at different points in their life, right? And there are many ways where you might not be able to relate anymore. Say, let's say your friend is married, or let's say you're working, a friend isn't working. Like, everybody's kind of in a different place. And I feel like it kind of creates like conflicts in areas where before, you know, friendships were formed based off, you know, we get along, but then we're also in similar places in life as well.
Yeah, like mutual, so, once in.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like with the different points that people are at, it creates scenarios where there's, not that there's less to relate on, but there's less chances, like, you know, your schedules might be different, or like there are just so many things you're having to deal with now that maybe you're like wondering, can this friend relate still? Or, you know, how do I express that this is what's happening? Or how can I be there for this friend when this is happening as well? You know, like so many, I feel like that's what I've been seeing. So like I don't necessarily like feel, so I mean I do feel, or I fear like, oh, in the process of everything happening, like kind of losing friends, but then I also feel like you don't really lose friends to some extent. Like I feel like if you really relate with someone or really care about someone, I feel like it still stays. So I don't know, like that's kind of how I see it to a large degree, but then like it depends, like you can lose some in the process of that, like, oh, everything's different, but I feel like in that process you still keep some that you can. So I don't know, like I'm definitely, like, for example, now, I mean, you guys talked about me having gazillion jobs, right? But, you know, life's expensive. I'll just say life's expensive, right? But I'm working gazillion jobs because I'm just like, I just need to be able to survive, right? But then in the process, you just have less time to spend with other people, essentially. So that's just been my experience. How about you guys?
Yeah, I think, so it's actually very funny because, like, remember how I was saying how my friends have been coming to visit me recently? And, like, one of my friends actually recently, she, like, came to visit me. And we were talking, like, one night, and we're saying how, like, one of the things that we're, like, happy about in our friendship is the fact that, like, we've been friends for about, I'd say, like, almost 10 years now. And we've, like, moved cities. Like, we haven't lived in the same city for 9 out of those 10 years. And we've still been able to, like, you know, maintain contact that way. And we're saying how, like, maintain contact and still be really close friends. And, like, we're saying how one of the things that we're happy about in our friendship is just the fact that, like, you know, we've been able to still, like, maintain a level of closeness, like, even though we're not close in proximity. It's funny because I think, like, a lot of my friendships are like that. So, for instance, I have, like some of my best friends do not live close to me at all. I haven't lived in the same area as a lot of them for like over 10 years, if I'm being honest, and we're still really close. So I think, I don't know, it's like, obviously, I think, like, you know, what Hadiza said is very true, where it's like sometimes where you don't have, like, you're not in the same school anymore, you're not going to the same classes anymore, you might not have a lot of things, like, you know, you might not have a lot of things to have common ground on. And obviously, as you grow, you get busy and all of those things. But I do think if something is important to you, you try your best to, like, nurture it and, like, you know, make it grow as much as possible. So it's like, for instance, like in my friendship, I've definitely had friendships over the years as well, which have fizzled out. But I also don't think I expected those friendships to last forever, if that really? Makes sense. Yeah.
It's like, All the ones that have fizzled out.
Yeah. Except like there's only one that fizzled out that I was like, I actually thought that was going to last forever. But that one didn't even fizzle out. Like that one, we had it falling out. So that was different.
Why do I know exactly who you're talking
exactly,
about?
Exactly. Because I know I've lots of falling out with people. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that one, we had it falling out. But like all my other friendships along the way that have fizzled out, there were friendships that I didn't expect to last forever. I'm not saying that I like saw the friendship and I was like, okay, this friendship has a deadline. No, that wasn't a thing. But it's like, it was friendships that I knew were built on the fact that we were in the same classes, the fact that we were in the same school. And I was like, okay, like, you know, even outside of classes and outside of school, would we even have that much to talk about? And I would even see in our interactions that we usually wouldn't, which was fine. Like, there was nothing wrong with it. But that just made me know that obviously this friendship is for a season, and that season is school. Essentially, and it's like when school was done, obviously I'm not saying I never tried to keep contact, we still tried to keep contact, but it just made sense that, like, you know, we weren't as close anymore because we didn't really have, like, you know, other common interests, I guess, that, like, you know, we could, like, bond on.
My question is, wouldn't that then be an acquaintance?
Like, so I mean, now now they're an acquaintance. No, but then we were really we were friends. Yeah. Now they're an acquaintance, but then we were friends. And like, that's why I'm like, you know, some friendships are for a season, and I think it's important to acknowledge, like, you know, when friendships are for seasons. But I do think it also depends on what your friendship is built on, right? Like for me, like I said, like a lot of my close friends, we haven't been in the same place for a while, but it's like because they're important to me, like, you know, I'll take time out of my day or my week to, like, you know, even if it's just like to do a check-in, like it could be like a weekly check-in, a monthly check-in. And like, I have a friend that we talk like once every 3 months, but literally when we talk, it's for like 3 hours. And that's like our like 3 monthly check-in. And she's still one of my really, really close friends up till today. And it's like, but we literally, like, I can count on my hand how many times in a year that we talk. But it's like, we do like almost like a download of like everything that happens, like whenever we do catch up. I think I've definitely seen like my friendships evolve over time in that obviously people are busy. We might not have as much time to talk and check in with each other. We might not have as much of a common place, like let's say school or even work, to like, you know, find each other and like talk and check in like that. But because all of those things have changed, we found other ways to connect that makes sense to us because we still want to be in each other's lives, because we still value our friendship in a way that we're like, okay, you know what? Even if you freaking move to Australia, I still want to be in your life. So I'm going to do what I can to make sure I'm in your life, essentially. And in that way, it's not just like this is a passing friend. It's almost like, this is like a friend that it's like, you know, a relationship where it's like, I want to marry this person, like this person I want to be with forever type things. Like, this is a friend that I want to be with forever. So I'm going to do what I can. Exactly. I'm going to do what I can to make sure that this person is in my life forever. And obviously, unless we have a falling out, if I have a falling out, that's a whole different thing. But yeah, so I think that's just kind of how I've seen my friendships change. So it's like, they have changed over time, but we've also kind of like changed with them to make it work. Essentially, okay. So put in the time and the effort. And I think that's a long-winded answer, but essentially, yeah, a long-winded answer, but I think you guys know what I'm trying to say.
Long-winded, right?
Thank you very much, because, you know, English sometimes is not my first language.
I love how we, like, denounce English every episode.
Because words are hard. I'm sorry. Did they ever teach you how to pronounce that word when you're in secondary school or primary school? No, they didn't. I learned it from reading books.
Now you're blaming it to your primary school.
Because it's true.
That's
I learned it from reading books. But anyways, Martina, what have you done? Have you seen your friendship change over time?
I think as you guys were speaking, I was just processing why I've felt the way I felt. And I think what you guys have said is completely true. Like, everything you guys have said is true. But I think maybe for me, the reason I am feeling it maybe a bit more is because I think you guys have kind of moved away from Ottawa, like, which is, I guess, a lot of the formative years. University is not necessarily a form. It's one of the formative, I think. Is that considered formative?
I mean, we also entered when we were like 2 years old, so.
Yes. I guess like we were like in Canada, this is where I've known the most, right? And this is where I formed a lot of the friendships that are in my vicinity right now. I'm still in that city. And a lot of people have left. Like, a lot of people I was really close to. I think maybe when you leave, it's a different feeling than when you feel like you are left. You are still in the area, so you kind of expect things to continue as normal. But the people you used to do those normal things with have kind of all left. So, like, I'm at a place where I'm almost, like, having to redefine what Ottawa even means to me at this point.
Interesting.
So, like, yeah, the activities I used to do, I am not doing them anymore. Because, like, the people I used to bond in those activities with aren't here anymore. That kind of thing.
Nay, games night.
Uh-huh. And this wasn't even, like, school. There was that initial shock after school where, like, of course, we're not in the same area. I mean, like, we're not going to the same, like, building every day or, like, same compound every day, you know? And, like, we don't have, like, similar classes. But a lot of people were still kind of around. So, like, we used to have games nights. And I look at pictures from those and, like, it just feels so different now. So, like, I think, one, there's that factor. And then there's, because I don't have any family here, my friends were kind of, like, my family away from home kind of thing. So because my friendships have morphed into what you guys described, I'm now feeling almost like they count, but like they don't feel like they count as much. Because it's like, it's a difference between in real time, I'm literally going through a very hard time, but I don't really have anyone to talk to about that in real time. I can talk about it in hindsight after, like, it's happened when we're doing our monthly catch-up, but it's, like,
in
real time, when it really counts and when you're really, like, making those decisions and stuff, they're not there. And it can get hard.
Yeah, I know, definitely, yeah.
And I think, for me, I think what it is just adjusting to that change. So I think the friendships are still there, but it's just like they are morphing. And I keep asking the question of how much more can they morph? Because right now, most of my friends don't have kids. When they do have kids, that's going to morph even further. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is that I don't even think that like you have to, like, obviously I think like, you know, morphing with friendships is like cool and is important to like, you know, keep those friendships strong. But I also think that there is a very, very strong importance in also having friends present. Do you get, like, so not just friends that you talk to? I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I obviously love my friends that I talk to once a month, once every 3 months, and like I love my friends I talk to once a week. But I think there's also an importance of having friends that you can also call up like literally any moment essentially and like talk to them. Like, I think that is also important. Like, there's an importance of having friends actively present, and even like, you know, having friends physically present as well, because I don't think that we were meant to do life with only long distance relationships. Like, I think they're great and they're a part of life, and like I think they're cool, but I think like there's a reason why, like, you know, even with your friends sometimes you'll be like, guy, move back to my city, and like, you know, you want them to be close. Because I think like as much as long distance friendships are like, you know, great and like, you know, they have their place, I do think there's also an importance of having like physical friends, because like you said, there are things in the moment that you deal with, and you can't now wait for like 2 months to pass for you. Like, okay, remember when I dealt with that? Or like, you know, or like you hold it in for 2 months because your quality will just combust. So I think that while all of that, like, you know, is important, and while you like can morph along with your friendships and find a way to adjust to a long distance friendship, I do think there is a very strong importance of having in-person friends and like, you know, friends that
real time, like, friends.
Real time friends. Yeah, real time friends. Whether it's like phone call friends or like, you know, physical friendships, because I think like those are also important as well. Because even going out, for instance, like, you know, if you want to have a night out, if all your friends are long distance, who are you actually going to go with? So I think those physical friends are also very important as well. So I don't think like, you know, I mean, I don't think it's weird that you're even feeling that way, because it's also possible that, like, you know, I mean, your love, like, I mean, love language, whatever, but your love language could be like, you know, having people around type thing, like, you know, actually having people, like, I know some people can handle long distance friendships, relationships better than other people, and other people struggle a little bit more because, like, their love language is more about having people around them and, like, you know, doing things with like people.
Quality time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but the thing is that you can also do quality time over the phone, but anyways, I mean, you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, real time quality time.
Real time quality time. But yeah, so Yeah, and I think, honestly, I don't think it's weird that you're feeling that way, especially because all your friends have left the city. Like, I don't think it's weird.
I don't think it's weird either.
Oh, okay, yeah. But
no,
like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I didn't know if you were saying it was weird or not. But anyways, I just think, long story short, I think it's also important to have those friends present because it helps with sanity. It helps with a lot of things. And I think it's also important. I don't think life was meant to be done with everything being long distance. I think we're also meant to, like, life was meant to be done with friendships also being present as well. I think that's very important too. So, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I also wanted to have a discussion about making friends in adulthood and how difficult really that is. Because I think about it, I'm like, to me, anyways, it's easy maybe not to lose friends, but for your friends to go asynchronous, I mean, non-real time.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to gain friendships like as you age because, as Hadiza said, like, you don't have similar interests and, like, if you're bonding with someone, a lot of times it's like about, okay, we work together, a common interest, and a lot of those don't last past what that similar thing is. So how have you guys found making friends as an adult, and like, how have you done it?
I feel like, so
I haven't, so it's very hard. Sorry.
So I feel like I
sorry,
have,
I just said, go ahead.
I have attempted to. So I think what usually ends up happening is the friend you make ends up being someone you just check in once a month or once in so often, like your friends. Like if you're already struggling to keep communicating with your friends, making a new friend is not going to help because chances are the other person might also be struggling, like as in... Making a new friend is not going to help if you're struggling to
keep up with the friends you already have.
To keep up with the friends you already have, number one. And that's if you're even able to keep them as a friend to begin with. Because a lot of times, some of them are just, they're just so busy that they're just like, I mean, I want to be your friend, but I have 1,000,001 things going on in my life right now. Yeah, something like that.
But how have you attempted to make friends, though, as an adult?
I'd say, like, I mean, if you meet someone and you find there's a common, like, you...
No, wait. How did you meet them?
How did I meet them? Oh, okay. For one of them, low-key, I tried this thing, I don't want to do...
Bumble BFF!
Yeah, I tried Bumble BFF for one of them.
Yeah.
And it worked out pretty well. Like, I mean, she ended up being more like a friend I check up on, like, every once in a while and stuff like that. But I think what made it be, like, I will message this girl even if she doesn't message me, like, I don't really care. Is more like I just found her interesting and I was like, oh yeah, I definitely want to keep messaging her, essentially. So yeah, but Bumble BFF, I think in real life,
does it work? Do you think people make, and I guess I'm actually throwing this question out BFF? To the public, have people actually made long-lasting friends on Bumble BFFs?
I mean, this friend I'm talking about, it's been a year-ish, and we've been
this
friends
still.
This has
been a great ad for Bumble BFF.
I'm screaming, Bumble BFF, follow us. <I'm
screaming>. But I mean, I gained a cool friend out of it, so it's pretty
Is she
nice.
A friend or an acquaintance? Putting you on the hot seat.
I think she's a friend because I would message her to, if like, let's say there was something going on, for example... She's one of the people I'll consider messaging to go out to that thing. I think that's what, or I can give her just, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's still levels to like your friendships, but then I don't consider her an acquaintance at all because I feel like I still feel a connection to her that I don't feel with an acquaintance, if that makes sense. Like, I feel a connection with her. Like, so that's the thing about friends for me. I see friendship as... like a connection, like it's almost like I have a crush on you, but not really. Like, sorry, not to be weird. Like I'm not weird, but like I feel like it's like I really like this person, so like I just want to hear about them or whatever, that kind of thing. So like, you know, I think that differentiates it for me versus an acquaintance. I don't think she's an acquaintance.
Okay,
that makes sense.
So that was a success. Then you've told us a success story.
Yeah,
okay.
Success story.
How else? Hello.
Is it me asking? Me, I don't know. I've run out.
You said in person now.
Oh, okay. No, I was thinking. I was trying to think, if I've made any friends in person. No, I blanked out because apparently
there was
none.
No example.
At least in recent years, none. Like the last time I made a friend in person, it's been a while.
Well, I mean, to be fair, COVID happened.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mama, you said there's none.
No, I don't think I've made an adult friend. Not really. I think the one I've made, I think she's more of like an acquaintance. I mean, she's turning more into a friend. Uh-huh. But I think it was from church. Like, that's how I met her.
Man,
like, so from church.
I know exactly who you are talking about every time you say this thing.
Because you don't know too much about my life, I guess. It's unfortunate, but we talk too much. Oh, is it fortunate? I guess it's fortunate. Whatever. But she's turning more into a friend. But it was from church that I met her. And I think, like, that's a way to meet adult friends. If you go to a church, if you go to, like, you know, I don't know, other places, religious institutions, I guess. But I think, like, you know,
that's that, please.
Sorry, guys.
Please. But yeah, so that's where I met her. And, like, yeah, I think that's, like, a way to meet friends. And how else? Like, there's another person I met, but it wasn't even a church. It was at an event that I went to by myself, and I met this person. But like, we don't talk that often. Like, we've tried to hang out a few times. It didn't really happen. So it's like most adult friends that I've made like three since I actually got, well, three excluding the one from church, that I've actually made since I got to the city, because this city was actually low-key a test to see how I could make adult friendships if I did want to. It was something that I wanted to test, like, eventually. Like, not at the beginning, I wasn't really looking for friends. But then closer to the end, it was something that I actually wanted to test. And I actually realized it is really, really hard to make adult friends. Like, the other three that I have made, it's like we connected on Instagram. We saw each other, like, oh my gosh, you're really cool. We talked for a bit. We really, like, you know, kind of like what Hadiza said, like, liked each other's vibe. Like, had, like, almost like a mini crush, like, oh, I actually like you. I want to know about your day type thing. I want to know what you're up to. And then after like one or two conversations for us anyways, it all just kind of like fizzled out. And then
friends or acquaintances then?
I mean, I guess the goal was to start off as friends, and it just never really took materialized off into anything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it ended up as like acquaintances, because like now we just follow each other on Instagram and that's it. So yeah, I guess it's really hard. Honestly, I think it's really hard to make adult friendships, to be very honest. Like, I do have a lot of empathy for the people trying to make adult friendships, but right now I haven't really had great success at adult friendships. Wait. Another way is for your friends to introduce you to people.
I feel like
that to me is the most solid way, because that is like a way that I've actually made an adult-ish friend. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of become actual friends from my, mm-hmm, like my friend introduced me to somebody. And I feel like that's the only other way that I feel like is pretty solid. Like that and like religious institutions are the ways that I've met people, because other ways have just kind of always fizzled out into an acquaintance. But I could always reach back out, Chad. There's still time. I'll reach back out and see if they want to hang out again. But so far, I haven't had much luck.
Matilda, I want to hear your own perspective, but I have a question. Do you think it's a factor of, okay, say if we had nothing to do with our lives, for example, and we're just getting money like without work, mm-hmm, do you think it would be easier to make friends, or do you think it's a function? Do you think it's a function of our adult brain that we can make friends, or do you think it's because of what's happening around us? I'm curious.
I think it's multiple factors. I think the answer to your first question though is yes, or definitely if we had more time, I think it would be easier. But it's also different because in a workplace, which is what a lot of us find ourselves in, there's so many age demographics. And like, I've worked in a place where the average age was like 57 or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I still made friends there actually, because they were like co-ops and stuff. But there's the likelihood of you just finding someone that you vibe with in a workplace, for example, which is where you spend most of your time, is very unlikely. Like in school, it's like maybe you are taking the same program. So just by the sheer fact that you are in the same program, you probably share some similar interests and you have things to talk about. So it's easier to have a vibe there. A lot of people just have jobs, not necessarily like I'm passionate about it. Like if you were passionate about, like, a lot of times probably in creative work, I think that might be because it's like your passion. So like it's easier to find a vibe there. But
I also feel it depends on your corporate culture. Like some corporate cultures don't promote too much emotional bonding. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, whereas, like you said, like creative spaces, maybe the corporate culture by default is more friend-like, free. So people are, you're more likely to find friendships there, more so because the culture allows for that freedom of mingling to some degree. Like, so for some corporate cultures, it might look like, quote unquote, unprofessional to like mingle freely or make friends like freely, kind of thing. That's what I think. But
even speaking about like the corporate culture, I think low-key, I mean, I know we all love remote work, but I think that's actually a downside to remote work. Because I know people are like, oh yeah, like, I mean, a lot of people are like, yeah, obviously I'm not going to work to find friends. Like if I like, I'll just like, you know, hang out with my friends at home and stuff like that. But I mean, and like, I obviously hear that and that's great, but I do think work friends are nice. Like, I don't think it's like, you know, a bad thing to actually want to have friends at work. Or even want to make friends at work. I feel like a lot of times I see conversations where it's like almost like, hey, bro, you're like a loser. Like if you're trying to make friends
really?
At work.
Really? What yeah, I have seen- heard is like, just keep them a little bit at an arm's length. Cause like you have to know who it is you make friends with. Because
I mean, yeah,
there are some
like, you're
people
not going
that
to make
literally
friends
that
with.
Can snitch you, guy.
Yeah, of course. And like, and obviously it's like, even when you make a friend at work, you don't start telling them everything like 2 seconds in. You have to kind of like vet their character. I feel like that's what you would like, to you would with like most people, like you would usually gauge them first before you now start like opening your yash, like, you know, in public.
Do you know, well, I don't really do that, you know.
You don't gauge the people around
not
you?
That I don't know I not that I don't gauge I'm not like I'm almost like an open book immediately you meet me. Like I'm less like if I actually I don't know I'm less like I need to gauge you before I like divulge you from like, and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. But yeah,
actually,
that's
true. You're pretty open.
The point. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Mama.
No, it's okay. I mean, I was just saying, like, personally, I think, like, I know, like, lots of people are like, oh, they don't, like, they don't need to go to work to find friends, which I think is great and fine. But I also don't think that there's anything wrong with actually going to work and finding friends, or even wanting to go to work to find friends. To be honest, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because if, for instance, you're moving to a new city like I did, and I was moving there for work, how else am I going to meet people? Like, I mean, not how else, but like, you know, the easiest way would be like through work, and then like obviously other ways. But I feel like, you know, I feel like work could be a nice place to meet people. And I think like that's one thing that I don't get me wrong. I love remote work and I think remote work is great. But I think like that's definitely one downside, I think, to remote work. But I know some people are like, oh, you don't need to go to work to find friends, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that, long story short.
Yeah, I agree. I think it kind of leads into my answer as well to the question, have I made friends in my adulthood? The friendships I'm trying to nurture now are like friends from work. Before COVID, we were on track for like real friendship, like real friendship. Like I'm we literally screaming. Used to do things to, like, we used to take the bus home from work. Aww. And like everything, we would hang out sometimes on the weekend. The birthday thingy I had before the COVID, you know, scattered everything. They were there, like, you know, I was on track for real friendships. Then COVID happened and that just
maybe on track for promotion to friendship.
Like, you know, it was pretty cool. But then now some of them that stayed in Ottawa, I'm now meeting other people through them, because like they have like a friendship group outside. And you know how I was saying, like, most of my close friends have moved away from Ottawa. So now I'm trying to insert myself into different friendship groups to see, you know, where I fit and stuff. I'm pretty much interviewing for friendship groups now. So if you would like me...
I'm actually finished, please.
In your friendship group.
Just please watch us, Matilda. We receive a whole bunch of applications.
Honestly, I'll write a referral.
Reference letter. Yeah. I think it's very possible. I think it also depends on personality too. Like, you just have to put yourself out there pretty much. Mm. Like, I don't know. I think there's a certain level of like not wanting to, that closed off thing at first, I think it doesn't help, especially in adult friendships. Like, you don't want to like be the one that is saying, oh, let's do this and do that, because you don't want to like bug them kind of thing. But like, I feel like it doesn't help. Like, adult friendships are intention. Fully intention.
It's all about intention.
It's all about intention. And like, that's what I'm active learning. Efforts. Yeah. It's stressful though.
No, it is. But I mean, I guess it's what you have to do. Yeah. Because it's actually funny though that you said that whole like, you know, not wanting to stress something. Can you imagine, Matilda, me? I message somebody like 3 times, does she want to hang out? Me. Would I do that on any other day? Never.
Like, double texted or what?
Triple texted even. Jesus. Like, I was like, see, me that was like, oh, I don't like embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can actually fall down and die. But like, this time I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I texted her, oh, obviously she wants to hang out, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, she was like, oh, she wanted to, but like, she wasn't in town. And she let me know when she was in town, that she was going to be in town, like, next week. Next week came, she didn't text me. Hey. I texted her again. I'm like, it's so funny because, like, I would never do that on any other occasion. But it's because, like, I kind of, like, I'm like, kind of like you said, adult friendships require work and, like, intention. I was like, okay, you know what? Let me put, like, you know, a little bit, like, let me put more effort into this. And I've also even seen, like, there's also this other person that was trying to be my friend. I mean, I guess, like, now, like, we're friends. No, but I'm not trying to say, like, a mean way or, like, a cocky way.
No, I understand. But you know how you were saying it sounds funny and lame? Like, it actually kind of does. Like, she was trying to be my friend. Yeah, no,
but she was trying to be my friend the same way I was trying to be this person's friend.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, like, she was trying to be my friend, and like, I could tell, like, multiple times, like, she would actually like kind of like text me like multiple times, being like, oh, hey this, hey that, and like, you know, just like kind of put in that effort, where it's like me sometimes I'll be like it's like I'll respond, but because like maybe I had like other friends or other people to like, you know, take my time, I'm like, oh, like, I might not prioritize her as much. But I could tell that she was actively putting in like, you know, effort to be my friend essentially. And like, now we are friends and it's cool. But yeah, I don't know. I just think the whole thing is funny. I think it's very funny.
Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. No, I wasn't kidding. I was never like, leave me alone. I was just more like, I mean, guy.
The pressure, as they say, is getting worse. I just think it's going to be interesting looking back at this episode, like, even a couple years from now, because like, literally everybody is getting married. Like, people got married this year, more people are getting married next year, and it's just like, I feel like as people start
getting married next year,
don't worry, we'll discuss after now. Anyways, yeah, so it'll be really interesting to listen back and hear how that has changed even then, because of that conversation that we had, Imama, about how a lot of African women specifically, but I guess, I know, I've seen a lot of African uncles have, like, they have friends who...
Yeah, they do.
I think it's mostly the women that, from what I've seen, and not African, like, specifically in my Nigerian context, I've seen a lot of Nigerian older women not have as many friends as, like, even their male counterparts. Uh-huh. Is there a possibility that we might get there, given the amount of change that's happening? And is that fine? Like, I don't think it's fine. I didn't think it was fine.
Yeah, I don't think it's fine.
The way that it's trending, I'm just like, is it inevitable, I guess, is my question.
I don't think it's inevitable. Is that correct? Yeah. Yeah, I don't think...
Is that correct?
No. Cause
is
like,
the
I'm
English
like,
correct?
No, like, I'm trying to say, like, you know, I was like, I don't want to... Like, it is... I don't know. Is
it that you don't want to say anything definitively?
No. I want to say it is not inevitable. Do you get?
It is not inevitable. I think it's correct.
Inevitable. Is that
it's inevitable. It's not.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that it's inevitable. Yes.
Okay. Why do you think that? First of all, okay, why do you not want that, I guess?
What is do you mean? It's lonely. What do you mean, why do I not want it?
Imagine, I'm just lonely. Asking for the crowd now. It's not that I don't know. We've had this discussion. It's just that, like, I honestly do believe that there are people that don't prioritize friendships. Like, a lot of times when people get in, and I think that's what happened to that generation, that, like, when you get in a relationship and you start focusing on, like, your family, for example, and, uh-huh. like, your nuclear family and raising your kids, and, like, life just gets so busy. If you don't put in that work to build those friendships around you, the odds are you're going to end up there. Yeah, so I guess my question then is, like, is that so bad, and, like, why is it for the people that aren't putting in that effort, you know?
I mean, I think it's bad because it becomes lonely eventually, and then you do see, and I think, like, for them, like, they do eventually realize that it does become lonely because you see them kind of transfer that energy to, because I think you see them transfer that energy to their daughters, like, when they try to, like, almost, or, like, they're, like, children or whatever, mm-hmm. when they try to, like, almost want to, like, find the friendship in them that they would have found in, like, their peers. So that's why I'm, like, I think they do eventually, I mean, they may not regret it, like, don't get me wrong.
And that's what I don't think they regret it still.
They might not regret it, but I think they do realize that there is something amiss here that, like, I think they do realize that there's something amiss. Like, they might not be able to regret it or even know what exactly it is that's amiss, but I think that they do end up realizing that there is something that I'm lacking here, because you do see, like, a lot of, and that, oh my gosh, haven't you even heard a lot of stories where it's like, I mean, I'm not, let me say haven't you, but there are a lot of stories. There are a lot of stories where it's like, you see mothers, when their daughters grow up, they now want to become their best friend, like, they're now coming to their daughters for all this advice and, like, you know, all these things that you would, yeah, advice even, uh-huh. yeah, that, like, they would literally have, like, kind of, like, just talked with, like, a friend about, or, like, you know, or like they now want to start hanging out. There are a lot of stories out there of parents and, like, their daughters, like, eventually growing up, and, like, their mom wanted to become really close.
Their best
and, like,
friends, pretty
their
much.
Their best friends, exactly. And I think, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's okay, because, like, my mom has always been close to me since I was young. Mm-hmm. But for some of these daughters, you see where it's, like, their mom wasn't necessarily as close to them when they were young, and now they're, like, older, and suddenly they want to become best friends. And it's, like, guy, from where? But the reason why they're suddenly wanting to become best friends is because they do not have those friendships that they can, like, lean on like that. So it's like, mm-hmm. the next person to lean on to is the person that you've put all your energy into raising, and should, like, I guess you now kind of believe should now be there for you. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you had nurtured your other relationships, but like I said, they might not exactly know how to pinpoint where the source of the issue is. But yeah, like, you know, now that, like, you know, the daughter, like, wants to, like, hang out with other people and stuff, they will now start feeling bad that the child doesn't want to hang out with them. But once again, it's a thing where it's like, if you had other people to hang out with, it wouldn't be as much of an issue that your daughter doesn't want to hang out with you every day of the week. Like, do you get what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. So I think that they might not be able to, like, once again, exactly point out this is the reason why, but I definitely do think that they eventually feel that there is something amiss. Maybe they might not regret it because it led to a great family, but I think eventually they feel like, you know what, everything is not as 100% as it could be. But that's just what I think. Khadija, what do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like, to be honest, like, so far I've just been vibing, I've just been gauging.
I'm screaming.
I don't really think too much about what that may look like, to be honest. So it's hard to say. So many things happen in life that's so unpredictable. Like, I just don't know how to imagine what that could look like. But I think what I do, like, it's more or less when I come into the awareness that, okay, I would like to have this, but then these are the factors that prevent me from having this, then what can I do to create a scenario where I can have both friends and this? So I think that's what it is, because honestly, when you look at life in reality, right, there are a lot of things that could happen that even if in your mind and in your heart you really didn't want there to be a rift, right, the rift is kind of almost inevitable, right? But it's just understanding, okay, in these kind of scenarios, this is what will cause me to do this or do that, and try to avoid or try to create the life that you want. So I don't really think about that. Like, I mean, I just hope that, like, I'm able to keep, like my friendships and stuff as much as I can. But yeah, like, I mean, but I think I should be able to, but I wouldn't know. Like, I don't know how to, I don't know how to answer that question, to be honest.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay, Hadiza, we probably shouldn't continue for that much longer, but I still have thoughts. Yeah. So one thing I wanted to say when you were talking, Imama, was I think there's also a culture, and I've heard it in another podcast, and they're not kids anymore, sorry, these women are kids of like Nigerian mothers that have Nigerian and Ghanaian, but like they left Nigeria. I don't know why this is hard. It's just so late. English is not coming to me.
Honestly, today is not
The
English is not English.
But I think what I'm trying to say is they themselves grew up in the UK. But there's this commonality in that their mothers kept saying things like don't trust.
We literally had this conversation. Exactly that.
Exactly this like don't trust people and
don't trust people. Don't open your yash. Like don't tell them. Frames, I said the open your yash thing twice during this episode. I think that's enough. Like
it's a record. What's your obsession with yash?
I do not know.
Okay. But I think that might be a huge factor.
I think so too, actually.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is a thing other people do, but sometimes when I see myself having too much shame in friendships, I almost made the conscious effort to be vulnerable. Because it's like, sometimes, like, I think there's some certain things that I want to deal with by myself. And I feel like if I keep censoring myself to my friends, I'm going to end up just not having real friends.
I see what you're saying.
Because like, there's sometimes I'm going through things that I'm just like, I'd rather not share, to be honest. But it's like, why am I having shame about this? Like, my friends are there for, at least my friendships, for a reason. And I don't know. I don't understand this thing about like being so secretive, because it's like you've already invited them into your life as friends. Yep. Mm-hmm. And like, I think the African mothers had this thought process of like people will use things against you, which I don't think is a lie per se. Like some people will use things against you, but
against you, yeah.
How do you choose friends? Like, and friends are your family that I believe friends are your family that you choose. And so if you've chosen those people, it's like, why do you still So it's a weird thought process, but I'm also like scared that like life would teach me that lesson and I don't want it.
You know, it's so funny because literally today I was in the bathroom and I don't know what it was. What was it? I literally cannot remember, but I know this happened like quite literally today and I was thinking about it and I was like, yo, I think sometimes I talk too much. I was saying this myself. I was like, I think sometimes I tell people too much of what's going on in my life. But then I also tried to catch myself and I was like, but like, I mean, if there are people that I have chosen to, for them to be my safe space, why is that a problem? And then once again, I had that thought that you literally just said, where it's like, okay, but I don't now want to come and out and learn a lesson. But then you know what I eventually landed on? I was like, you know what? If I learned the lesson, I learned the lesson and we keep it pushing. Exactly. Like I won't die. Like that's literally what I ended up with. I was like, you know what? If it so happens that I trust this friend and this friend ends up like, you know, doing something very like sinister, like, you know, about a thing that I have told them, it's actually okay. Like I won't die. Like it would not be the end of the world. It would just be that and we'll keep it pushing. And then I would know not to trust them again. And like, and also it's like, I also think I was like, what am I even telling them? She gets, what am I even telling them that can't ruin me? I'm like literally I don't think it's like, obviously I've definitely told people things that I think if it got that would be very embarrassing like for life, me,
but I think but there life are some things that life not threatening changing
life changing I don't know like I can't really
I don't think I've told anybody that anything that life changing
exactly. I'm like,
but
I think
that the gravity of things, I don't know, at least I've experienced
they increase
the
as you go older.
Yeah, that's what I've been feeling.
It's true, they do increase as you go older, but I also think that it's like they increase as you go older, but also Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll Life see. Will teach us.
I just also, I want to always think about it and have it at the back of my mind, because it's like, I don't want to come to the same conclusions as people that have that thought process, because it's like, mm-hmm. I genuinely don't come from, I try, God, please don't let life teach me the opposite.
Honestly, but me too, I beg.
I try to God, approach life that people aren't all, not everybody,
evil.
Yeah. Inherently evil.
Yeah.
So it's like, even if my friend does something I don't like, I mean, it depends
it's
to the
not
level.
To be from a bad place.
Yeah, yeah. There are some friends that, some people that you considered friends, and it hasn't been my experience, but I've heard experiences of like people that have had friends that didn't have the best intention. Actually, in my past, I've had friendships like that, but
oh yeah,
I just feel that it's not all your friends that are like that. So for you to just paint that brush and just say people, it's a lonely existence.
And it's very limiting, I think. It's not it. But I mean, you're correct. Like I've definitely heard stories of people having bad intention. But I also feel like it's things, I don't know, but it's like those are things that you kind of see, but you choose not to see. Like mm-hmm. It's like, for instance, like, I think it's things that, it's like there are traits in a person that you might notice that, like, you know, that guy's person has bad intention, but because they're your friends, you kind of be like, ah, they can never do this to me type thing, mm-hmm. do you get? Mm-hmm. But it's like, but you've seen them do it to, like, the next person and the next person. Or you've seen them, like, for instance, like, when somebody tells them their deepest, darkest secrets, you've seen them come to, like, not tell you, but, like, start, like, telling, like, a lot of people, and you're like, ah, guy, it will never happen to me.
Okay, that one is just blissful ignorance. You've decided to be ignorant.
No, but I would say, like, you know, that's like an example. But I feel like there are things like that where it's like people see, like, you know, people in their lives do evil things, mm-hmm. or wicked things or bad things or whatever it is. And you kind of do a, oh, it will never happen to me type thing. So you now, like, always walk in a, it won't happen to me. And then when it happens to you, you're now shocked.
I've never experienced that.
I haven't experienced it, but I've heard of people experience it.
Oh, like I've never had...
Like, I don't experience it, so...
Like, I think I try to choose my friends based off of how they are, like, to also to other people. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not just friends with you because I feel like you will do this to me. Like, I'm also friends with you because of who you are as a person.
Yeah.
As well. So, it's like, I haven't had a situation where... yeah. And I think if you're like that, I would have been expecting it, surely.
Yeah, and like that's what I'm saying. So I guess I'm like, some people literally have that, it would never happen to me then. So it's almost like they're now not. So it's like when it happens, they're like, ah, my friend has broken my heart. Like, do you grab?
Yeah.
But it's like, bro, it's like if you had, like, you know, adjusted your friendship based off of the way they were moving from the jump, you would have not had a story of friends are evil. You would have a story of, you know, like, choose your friends wisely, jiggets. It would be like a different story. Yeah. So, I don't know. But I definitely do agree with you in that I think a lot of our parents have that, oh, like, don't tell, like, people anything. Like, kind of keep your stuff to yourself. And I guess it was, I'm sure they have, like, you know, experience as to why they are moving like that. But I also think it's also a way that they choose, that they chose their friends. I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe they didn't ask that many questions. I don't know what it was, but I think there's a way that they chose their friends.
Maybe it's a reflection of the society as well.
That
because
could also be a thing.
I think, like, for example, how in Nigeria, like, one of the worst things, at least in my experience, is like, what would the neighbors think? And it's this huge, big deal. And I think in Nigeria, it's such a communal living that, like, how your people think about you really affects your life.
Yeah.
So it's like, if someone has a negative thought about you, it really does actually have impacts on your life. So I think that's why they found it easier to just keep things to themselves.
Keep this to themselves, yeah. So it's not even that the people were bad. It's just that
they were judgmental.
What do you call it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess judgmental, but I guess, like, no, I was going to say it's not that they were bad, but it's probably like just like an idea in their head that they had that, yo, what would people think, essentially? So, like, maybe even though this person might not be bad, but if he accidentally gets to the other person that's actually bad, what would they now think?
And I, And I don't understand, our community is weird. And I don't know if this is just our community and how we met it. Maybe it hasn't always been this way, but I don't know how we have we have communal living, or we claim to have a close-knit society, but yet we hide so much from each other. Like, do we actually have it, or are we just all pretending to each other? Do you get? Everyone but your nuclear family.
That is a whole nother podcast.
Another podcast, but I think it just bleeds into this friendship and how friendship is seen and preached to us. And I really, really want to move away from that, because I actually think real community, not just the idea of the community, comes from really being vulnerable, to be honest, with each other.
I think so too.
And actual friendships.
But we've actually said a lot, I think it would actually be cool to have an episode on that whole, community thing, because I think it's there's so many pros of obviously the way we're raised as Nigerians and that communal sense. Mm-hmm. But I guess there's also so many cons as well, where it's but now you're worried about too many people's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great because you have a huge support system, but it's also not great because you have a huge support system.
Yeah. It's a two-edged sword.
Exactly.
Sword.
So today has been a day for words.
But I think with that, we'll come to the end of this episode. It wasn't really one that we thought we would have a conclusion to, but it's more of a reflection kind of episode.
Uh-huh.
And I hope it's helped at least with thinking through how you see your friendships and how we see friendships as a society, and people in the coming out of that community, because I think this would also be a different conversation if I lived in Nigeria. I just felt it was easier to find people that had similarities. It's probably also still hard, but I think a little easier. I don't know. You guys tell us. People in Nigeria, tell us.
A quick thing. Actually do think so. People, I think that mindset that we're talking about, that our parents had, I think it's still a thing that's still prevalent in Nigeria right now. I don't think it's a thing that ended with our parents' generation, or that will end with our parents' generation in Nigeria. Because I've actually heard some younger Nigerian people kind of still talk about that whole, don't talk too much type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it might be maybe a factor of the society.
That's fair.
But anyways,
I'm so interested to see how other people living in other places think about this. Think about friendships and how they approach it. Is there anything that we've said that is so bogus? And what are your opinions? I really, really friendships are I can talk endlessly about friendships. I'm serious. So I really would love to hear from our audience how you guys have.
What do y'all think?
Yeah, what do you guys think about this topic? How have you seen friendships change over time? And do you think it's bogus that we're saying you should trust people like that? has life taught you said lesson? And we want to hear those experiences.
Are we to learn one day? Better bagel.
dot. But that's the end of our episode, and we have an announcement. A serious announcement, actually. We've been talking as the host.
Please.
And you know how we've been talking about friendships and how we are in separate places physically, and we're also at separate places in life. Wow, it's so deep. We're just
but we are.
We really are. We are at a different place than we were when we started this podcast. And a lot of times, when things change, different careers, people are getting jobs, people are trying to finish their masters.
Exactly.
Just when life changes, it's just really hard to continue the same way we have. So we've been talking, and the conclusion we came to was to go
in the spirit of Morphin.
in the spirit of morphing, exactly, and like life being like about change. Life is literally always like the only thing that's constant is change.
That's change. Hello, come on.
Come on. So we've decided that we're going on an indefinite break. It's been a hard decision to come to, but it's just where we are right now. But we've decided that on this break, we might drop in once in a while and, like, you know, drop episodes as like things drop in our hearts. And it might not be all of us that are on that episode. It might be, you know, just me or just Imama. Like, I mean, and other people, like, you might start hearing, you know, temporary people come in and talk and, like, you know, just we're taking a new direction. For the time being. And then once we are back, we'll be back. But we are taking an indefinite break. And that is the ultimate announcement, really. But yeah, it's been a great 4 years of podcasting.
It really has. We will be back, hopefully.
That could change too. Remember, life is also...
Hopefully.
We don't know. Yeah. It's indefinite, but it's been really fun, like, podcasting, for real. Wow, I think I'm shedding a tear.
Aw, so emotional.
But, like, it's really, really emotional. Like, I've really enjoyed podcasting. And, like, when we started, I was so determined to keep this, like, consistent. And... because I had started, like, I had listened to so many podcasts that they just stop and it really hurts me. But I understand that as a podcast listener myself, but I now understand why those podcasts stopped.
Yeah.
Because life is really about change.
Yeah.
And it changes.
But honestly, you've done a great job. We've done a great job, I think. We deserve a round of applause. Yeah, clap on for all
clap
of us.
Please, as you're listening. That's the announcement. But yeah, we'll catch you guys when we catch you guys. You know?
Yes, we will. And stay safe, stay jiggy until then.
Not jiggy.
I mean, I don't know. I was talking to my brother today and he said I should stay jiggy. So I'm telling you guys to stay jiggy.
Okay.
But yeah, no, honestly, stay safe, stay healthy.
Keep in touch.
Stay positive.
Our social media is still there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, remember, you guys got this. Positivity is the way to go.
Okay. Inspiration.
I don't know. That was, you know, God is your strength and all of that.
Now you're just saying things.
No, but God is your strength.
Indeed.
But wait, one more thing. If you guys miss us and want to hear a voice, just go back and listen to our old episodes. They're still going to be out there. We're not taking them down. So, yeah.
All right, y'all. We'll catch you guys when we catch you guys. Bye.
Yeah, bye.